1 Peter 2:2-10 was read in your hearing, but I want to come down to the 6th verse. It says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded." It keeps on going. It says, "Unto you therefore which believe that he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected is the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense." I want to talk very briefly today because we want to let you out before the snow comes, and we still have communion, but very briefly, just want to talk to you on the subject of Jesus. He is either your stumbling block or your cornerstone. Amen, somebody. And you know, much emphasis is placed on starting points. Am I right? If you don't start out right, you won't end up right. If you start out wrong, you will end up wrong. If the foundation is shaky from the start, things will come down on you like a ton of bricks, so it pays to plan ahead. Don't we say stuff like that all the time? And no one understands more than a builder that you need to get it right from the start. Say amen, somebody. Many projects have ended up in disaster because the builders didn't take time to do it right from the beginning. See, when the Lord laid it on my heart, I'm a transparent preacher, so I'm not gonna sit up here and tell you that I didn't make any mistakes. But when the Lord laid on my heart to build Restoration Temple, I went running, amen, and I went to work. And what I did was I made a compromise in the beginning of my ministry. And I was preaching that compromise brings separation, and separation brings confusion. But I felt that I needed to fill the seats, and I thought that I needed more help than I needed. So I overlooked some things that I should have really set into place and really should have grabbed a hold of that stuff. And I compromised some stuff. And because I compromised some stuff, we had to move once. And because I compromised some stuff, we had to move a second time. Amen. Because see, sometimes you have to understand that you've got to get it right to end right. So what that is said is the cornerstone needs to be laid, and it needs to be laid perfect. Come on. There's a church in New Jersey. This is a true story that was built by several deacons. There was an old wooden church that stood on the property, and they decided that they were going to clear that property out. They were going to tear the church down, and the deacons were going to by themselves build a new edifice. And they thought, because like I did, they watched some other people do it, that it was just an easy thing and that you could just step into it. Because on television, the DIY network, they build a whole house in 30 minutes. But what we don't realize is that 6 months worth of filming and 6 months worth of planning before they even lay a stone down. But anyway, these deacons, they tore the church down and they were getting ready to build a new one, and they all had backgrounds in construction. So they thought that this was going to be an easy thing. We're going to build a church for the people. The blueprint was simplified because there was no substructure. There was no basement, just going to put it on a concrete slab with four strong outer walls. What could be easier than that, right? So the first stone was laid, and followed quickly by that stone after stone to the left and the right, so following a plumb line that had been set up. All four walls were up within a matter of days, and the folks got excited. They got some bad weather, so they broke for a few days, and then when the weather cleared, they resumed building that church. But when it came time to put the roof trusses on, they found out that none of the beams were perfectly perpendicular to the outer walls. The beams all were a few degrees off, and they made a difficult decision. Amen, walls, I'm talking to me. They made a difficult decision to go on building anyhow. So what they did was, in spite of the imperfection, they came to the part where it came to put the roof shingles on, and they were finally applied. The congregation stood back to look at their new building, and they saw a slope, an odd angle on a roof. And the church became known as the house that Jack built. You all know Jack, don't you? The Jack of all trades, but the master of none of them. And they brought a professional builder in to assess the situation. And the builder looked at it and he said, "There is nothing that we can do. You were doomed from the start, because the first stone that you laid down in the corner was incorrect." Wow. The church had to go to the board. The board had to then go to the township and get a special variance to continue to worship in their lopsided building in Newark, New Jersey. And every Sunday they still come and they look up and they are reminded that if you don't start right, you cannot, will not, shall not end right. So I'm asking you today, Jesus, is he either your stumbling block or is he your cornerstone? Come on, see, the cornerstone is the starting point of a building. It unites two walls, and it determines from the very beginning if the building is going to be perfect. If you start with a quality cornerstone with a perfect 45-degree angle, the building will be plumb and level on every side. Is there anybody in here that knows anything about building anything? Am I talking right back there? If you start off wrong, you'll end wrong. Amen. Go look at the wallpaper in my office. I started off just a little bit crooked, and if you stare at it long enough, you'll see that it goes down like this. Go back there and look at it. And I made the difficult, sometimes easy decision to just put it up anyhow. And every time I walk into my office, I am reminded that I did not start correctly. Come on, somebody. See, Isaiah 28 and 16 mentions a very costly cornerstone for the foundation of a building that is not made by the hands of man. Come on. A tired and precious cornerstone. But Isaiah wasn't talking about a physical building. He was speaking in figurative terms. Come on, are you all with me? He was talking about the role that Christ plays in the foundation of our Christian faith and the importance of the place that Christ occupies in our lives. Come on, I won't be before you long, so y'all got to pay attention and get with it. First Peter in the second chapter refers to Jesus Christ not just as the chief cornerstone, but as a living stone. See, here Peter paints a picture for us of the relationship between God, Christ, and the church. From God's perspective, Christ and his followers make up the church, and they're like a building that is being built by God himself. The foundation of God's building is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if any person wants to be a part of God's building, come on, are you with me?
Yeah.
Then he has to place his life upon the foundation cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ himself. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Come on. Now, Christ is a perfect cornerstone. Are you listening? Talk to me. A stone that can be trusted. A stone upon whom only a solid foundation can be laid. In fact, there is no foundation any man can lay that can compare to this perfect foundation in Jesus Christ. See, despite his perfection, this is what I want to talk about. The living stone was rejected by man. When man looked on the stone, when they looked on Christ, it wasn't what they wanted. Come on, somebody. Christ didn't fit in with their building plans. He was deemed useless and unsuitable for their design. It was determined not to be worth the price because they wanted to do what they wanted to do, how they wanted to do it, without sitting and submitting under the authority of Jesus Christ and his Father and the Holy Spirit. So they rejected the very stone that was designed by God himself and sent down here to deliver us. See, God is building the church. And it's been under construction since the day of Pentecost. But even though centuries have passed since he became our stone, men still reject the message of salvation and refuse Christ because they want to do it their way. I want to do it how I want to do it. I want to do it my way. And are y'all following me? Yeah. Is there anybody here that has said that to themselves? It's my way or the highway. If you don't like how I do it, it's my bat and my ball, and I'm going to take my stuff home, and ain't nobody going to play any baseball up in here today. We've got folks that say it from the pulpit. This is my church, and if you don't like it, get out. That is a lie, because this is God's house, and we live and we breathe under His word. Wrong, then it's wrong. It doesn't matter what I think. What does God have to say about that thing? So they cast the stone aside, the very stone that God had chosen to be the foundation for the life of the church. And it's the only stone that can support the bearing load of the construction of Christ's church. The living stone, it was made to last for all eternity. It doesn't deteriorate. It doesn't waste away. You don't ever have to come back and you know how sometimes when you have a brick building, you have to go back and do what they call repointing. You have to scrape the old mortar out and put new mortar in to make sure that it stays in place. But see, Christ is who He is. He stepped out of nothing onto nothing and made something. He is everything that we need. And we never, ever have to go back and work that thing back out. He is who He is. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is perfect in all of His ways. So if you set yourself on top of that foundation stone, everything is going to be all right. First, Christ was the living cornerstone. And it was the first stone that was laid. And we have to understand this. All other stones are placed after it. And so it's with Christ. He is the first of God's new movement. And Christ is the captain, come on with me, of our salvation. And all those who build upon the cornerstone are simply crew members that follow Him. See, we miss that because we put a robe on Sunday and we think that we are better than other folks. And sometimes because we're a deacon or an elder or we go to church every Sunday, we think that we're better than other folks. But really, the truth of the matter is Christ is the cornerstone. He is the captain of the ship. We are simply support staff. Come on, somebody. He is the chief builder. He is the captain of our salvation through His suffering. In Hebrews 2:10, it says, in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of our salvation perfect through His suffering. See, Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. See, and I have to stop there for a minute because we say that all the time. And I'm sure those of you that grew up in church, you've heard that over and over again. And then we don't say anything after it. We say He's the author and He is the finisher of our faith. And we're simply, but what I want to tell you, we're simply then, if that is the case, we are simply readers of His story. Mm-hmm. Y'all miss that. If He's the author and the finisher, we're simply reading His story. He is the beginning and the ending. Everybody else comes after Him, and everybody else comes under Him. The Bible says, I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. I'm the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. I am the Almighty. Y'all should have shouted on that thing because your story is already written. You just have to read it right. He says, I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I am that is, that was, and everything that's going to come through, because I am the Almighty. See, Christ is the forerunner into the very presence of God. All others enter, everybody enters God's presence through Him. Hebrews 6:19-20 says, the certain hope of being saved is a strong and trustworthy anchor of our souls, connecting us with God Himself behind the sacred curtains of heaven, where Christ has gone ahead to plead for us from His position as our high priest. And I'm almost done, but I want to stress that. Christ is the forerunner into the very presence of God. Without Him, we can't get to God. It says everybody's got to come through the Father by me. So you've got to understand that Christ needs to be the cornerstone of your life, because without Him, you can't see God. And it says that it's a sure and it's a trustworthy anchor to our souls, and it connects us with God himself, who sits behind the curtain of heaven pleading on our behalf. See, you missed that thing. When he left here, he went back into glory, and when he went back into glory, he went behind the veil, and when he went behind the veil, he sat down at the right hand of his Father, and he is daily pleading our case. He's saying, God, give Pastor Tim one more opportunity to get it right. He messed up yesterday, but I know his heart. Daddy, just give him one more chance. He's sitting there pleading our case. He's saying, pleading our case. He's saying, Daddy, give Deacon Mills just one more chance. I know his heart. He's doing the best that he can. Give him another opportunity to serve you. Just be with him. Guide him. Just give him. See, daily he's pleading out because daily God is making new mercies for us. But to get to him, you gotta know who Jesus is. You can't get to him without Jesus. Your cornerstone, or he's your stumbling block, and the choice is yours. We said in Sunday school today that Jesus doesn't sit there and say, you know what, I got a blessing for Deaconess Mills, and I'm gonna make her take it. I'm just gonna dump it on her lap. I'm gonna make her take. No, that's not how it works. God wants to bless you, but you've got to put the work in. You've got to lay your foundation level. You've got to get on one accord with your brothers and sisters. You've got to let folks go who don't walk like you, who don't talk like you, who don't believe like you do. You've got to let some people and some places and some things go out of your life so God can come in and bless you the way he wants to. He's either your stumbling block, hey, or he's your cornerstone. You've got the choice, and it's up to you on which way you're going to go. Hey. Help me close this out. If you're building your life, you need a cornerstone that can support you. Come on, somebody. You need a cornerstone that can support you. You don't build a house out of cardboard, do you? Remember when we were little kids, when our parents would get a new stove or a refrigerator, they'd be in the kitchen shining that thing, and we'd be playing in the box thinking that we done did something. I remember my granddaddy bought a big double door refrigerator. The box was so big, I went outside, built me a spaceship. Left it outside and it rained, and the next day I touched it and it crumbled down. See, we don't build houses out of cardboard and styrofoam. So why would you let the blueprint of your life be built without the cornerstone being that of Jesus Christ himself? If you build it on him, he will do the rest. You need a cornerstone that can support you. You need a preeminent stone. You need a stone that is strong enough that every stone that gets laid on top of it can hold the weight of everything that's on it. And see, I don't know about you, but you don't want me holding you to do a headstand, because I will drop you. You need somebody strong. You need somebody with muscles. And God is strong, and his son has some big muscles. So much so that he said, cast your cares upon me. I will give you rest. He is the one that can handle. He is the one that can hold. He is the one that can sustain. And he is the one that you need to build the blueprint of your life on. And his name is Jesus. You need a rock solid foundation to undergird your faith. When the world comes and tries and tells you it don't take all of that, it doesn't take all that hollering, it doesn't take all that singing, it doesn't take all that dancing, why are you beating that tambourine? You want to tell them you're in the wrong section. If you want to be in a dead church, go back on a pew by yourself. Because if you sit in this section, you want to let folks know, if you sit next to me, there's going to be some hand waving. If you sit next to me, there's going to be some shouting. God praise and give him glory, because I'm about to catch on fire. Christ is a living stone. They said in the Bible, he's a living stone. So you don't build your stuff on dead stuff. My granddaddy said anything dead ought to be buried. Isn't that right? Come on, somebody. Reject the stone and he'll become your stumbling block. And he'll become a rock of offense. You'll be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And see, when the rain came, when the rains of adversity come, when the floods of tribulation come and the winds of misfortune batter your shallow edifice. I'm not talking about a house. I'm talking about this right here. If this isn't built on a firm foundation, when the winds of hell blow in your life, when tribulation comes in your direction, come on, when misfortune batters you, if your shallow break will be your fall. Stumbling block. See, that's a personal thing. And especially on a communion Sunday, when I think about the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, when I think about what Christ did coming from a home in glory, a perfect place, to be born in a manger that stink like animal feces, and he came down here and he left riches and glory and came down here poor with nothing but a word. See, when I think about that, how could I make him a stumbling block? How could I make him a stumbling block when he's been so good, when he's been so kind, and I didn't deserve any of it? So I'm not going to let him come down here and for all that for me to make him a stumbling block and for me to be offended by him. I'm going to make him the cornerstone of my life, and you need to do the same thing. So if we join ourselves to him, the living stone, we become living stones. Come on. Because see, it says if you believe in him, you will have everlasting life. Everlasting life means you don't die. Amen. So if you get connected to the one. See, if you don't believe it says that it says in the Bible, for God so loved the world. Come on, somebody, and I'm finished. That he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him, they shall never perish, but they will have everlasting life. See, everlasting is forever and forever. And when forever is done, it rolls on just a little while longer. Christ is either your savior or he isn't. There is no in between. He is who he is. Check the one that quenched your thirst when you were thirsty. Come on, that doesn't even make sense, does it? Will you reject the one that fed you when you were hungry? Will you reject the one that witnessed your shame and removed it? Will you reject the one that tallied up your debt and paid it off? Come on, somebody. That doesn't even make sense, does it? See, stumble not at the truth of God's person. Come on, you're missing it. Come on, pray with me. Stumble not at the truth of who he is. Ask me, say, preacher, who is he? And I'll answer that. He is the only begotten son of God. Come on, somebody. He is the rock of our redemption. Come on, I'm about to close. Y'all, help me out. He is the cornerstone of our confession. He is the surety of our salvation. He is the foundation of our forgiveness. He is our anchor and our hope. He is our captain, our counselor, and our confidant. He is our defender, he is our deliverer, and he is our door to God himself. He is the foundation, he's a forerunner, he's God's only son. He is our hiding place in the midst of a storm. He is our light, he is our lamb, he is our salvation, he is our redeemer, he is our Lord, he is our savior, and he is our soon come again king. Don't you understand? He's coming back for you. And when he comes back, you got to rise up and show yourself worthy. The Bible says he's a living stone. He's a living stone. Somebody say living stone. Say living stone. Say living stone. If you open your hymn book, the hymn book says, God sent his son, and they called him Jesus. It says he came to love, he came to forgive, and he came to heal. If you keep on singing, the chorus says, because he lives. Come on, somebody. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fear is gone. Because he lives, I know, I know, I know who holds my future and my life. My life is worth living simply because he lives. Hallelujah. And if you keep on living, you can shout that thing, because he lives. Say, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face my boss. Because he lives, I can look at my bank account. Because he lives, I can stand upright in front of my family. Because he lives, all my fear is gone. Because he lives, I know that no matter what tomorrow brings, that I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I don't fear what tomorrow has to bring, because I know in whom I believe, and I know who holds my future. And because of that, my life is worth living simply because of it. Hallelujah. So good that he knows how we really are and how we really think, and he still loves us. He still came. He still hung on the cross. He still shed his blood. He never complained, and he never said a mumbling word. And he said, I'm doing it for them. And then when I'm done with this thing, I'm going to rise up one more time. I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to let them know that the debt has been paid. Everything is canceled out. Your sin debt is forgiven. And because of me, you can go on and live. Because of me, you can face tomorrow. Because of me, know that your future is secure. Because my anger holds and it grips the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church are open. Every head bowed and eye closed. If you've been living with the Lord Jesus Christ as a stumbling block and not your cornerstone, be not ashamed. The altar is open. Come on down. If you need the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't know him in the full pardon of your sin, now is the time. Tomorrow is not promised. The rest of today isn't either. All you have is right now. Don't wait to get it right, because you'll never get it right. You'll never come. That is a trick of the enemy. We are all an imperfect people. So come and be imperfect together with us. The doors of the house are open.